Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Good day, everyone. This is Phil Yeager, and I really don't have a guest today because the gentleman who is with me is my colleague and friend, and he's my right hand, left hand, all right, man when it comes to this guy knows more about auditing than any other CPA I've met. And this person's name is Ron Primoroso, all right? And after you hear us speak, you'll hear the same accent. We both have the New York, Brooklyn, Bronx accent. So anybody out there from New York, Bronx, Brooklyn, how are you? All right. And by the way, go send me a dozen bagels. But anyway, that will be
me too, Phil. I need bagels and locks. Please, Phil.
As soon as possible. By the way, locks is not something you use for a door to keep it secure. All right. If you're not from the area. But anyway, it's smoked salmon. But that's nothing to do with this. Today, all right, hey, we decided we're going to do a podcast together. Why? Because we do webinars together, and we all seem to have a very good time doing these webinars. Now, unfortunately, you will not be able to ask us any questions because it's more of an information-type podcast. And once again, the title of the podcast is CPA Evolution. Now, before we get into it, let me tell you an interesting story. Back in late 70s, all right, early 80s, the AICPA decided that the CPA designation was just a U.S. designation, all right? And if you wanted to get licensing in a foreign country, all right, CPA was really not the thing because CPA was for U.S. accounting only. So the AICPA, and I don't know who was at the AICPA came up with this, but they said, we're going to change the CPA from CPA to a cognitor, all right? Now, I have no idea what cognitor meant, but the CPA would be gone, and the cognitor would mean now, this is an accountant that knows both national and international information. So now, the exam would be, the designation would be an international designation. The CPA was going to be eliminated. We had a big meeting, all right, in Virginia, Northern Virginia, and we invited some people from the AICPA because we told them that we're going to lobby against this and we're going to kill it from ever occurring because in order for this change, it required the majority of the AICPA members to agree to this. We basically had a little debate there and we pointed out, all right, hey, the CPA is a designation which has been used forever and ever, all right? And there are CPAs that do both U.S. accountings and also they have international accounting. So why do you want to get rid of that? What about all the people that have it? We did two or three webinars, and I'm not sure if people were able to listen to it, but we had a good percentage of the AICPA membership listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's so long ago, but as a result of getting involved, the vote came up and it was unanimously voted down. So I guess I can look back and say, hey, all right, I did something to help the people in the profession at that time. All right, now, here we go again. It's now the year 2020 and the AICPA is now coming up with another major change. All right. And it's called the CPA Evolution. Without going any further, all right, Ron, how do you look at the CPA Evolution, what they're doing, this AICPA?
Well, what it looks like, Phil, at the moment is, as you know, they're doing more often practice analysis, right, of what's being tested on the exam, okay, because there's somewhat of a concern that the material being tested on the exam is not keeping up, right, with today's changes in technology, okay? So, you know, Whereas they used to do a practice analysis of what's being tested on the exam every 6 years or so. Now they've got it down to every couple of years, okay? So suddenly in 2019, I think there was an awakening that, as we know, Phil, lots of new technology is coming, right? Blockchain, artificial intelligence, bots, okay? The list goes on and on. And the expertise required for CPAs in our profession today, and we'll talk more about audit and tax and other things in a few minutes, but the required expertise for any professional accountant these days is changing, okay, very, very rapidly. So what we saw, Phil, is right now the ICPA is working on a big, pretty significant update, it seems, with this practice analysis, right? Meeting with constituencies, right? The big four, small firms, I guess educators, NASBA, right? A whole group of a bunch of people and saying, okay, we need to update the exam again to make sure that it's relevant to this day and age, okay? But I think what's more important coming from this, Phil, which you and I have been discussing together, is what potentially might happen in the future after this initial step is taken to make the exam more relevant. What could happen from a licensure aspect, okay, coming into the future, all right? So because it seems, Phil, I think you agree, that they're alluding in there to the fact that not only perhaps should there be a core exam, which CPAs, and I hope we stay as CPAs.
And by the way, Ron, on page 2 of what I gave you,
yep, right,
is the core curriculum.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. What is in there, Phil, just out of curiosity?
There's going to be one exam, and it's going to have a core curriculum, all right? And that exam will cover accounting, auditing, tax, and IT, tech. And the subjects that will be in that core curriculum will be tax compliance and planning, business reporting and analysis, information systems and controls. That seems to be the area. Now, once you pass the exam, then, all right, you can decide what area you want to become in. Do I want to become a tax accountant? All right. Do I want to go into auditing? Do I want to go into IT, advisory services? Well, all right, you'll pick what area you want to specialize in. But let me emphasize, their plan is not to give you a second exam. All right. And if you pick taxes, for example, as the area you want to specialize in, after you pass the exam they give you for the core curriculum, all right, can you switch if you decide I don't like taxes to say auditing? And the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. You can switch, no problem.
Yeah. Right?
But they're starting to acknowledge we have a problem here. Accountants are not really keeping up with the new technology. You know, I see this problem. I mean, maybe it's not a problem, but I see the problem of, in order for people to be cloud accounting consultants or do,
yeah,
all
yeah,
right, they have to understand cloud accounting.
Yes.
Now,
yep,
you find that, are the universities already on top of this? Who's teaching the people this?
The specific training, which you just mentioned, cloud accounting training? No, Phil. There's no real specifics of that. You would get that once you get to the firm level, okay? And they would go through with you their experiences with auditing and dealing with cloud providers, okay? And as far as financial statements produced by them, and also, you know, the control aspect of those firms, you're not going to learn that in school. Of course, you'll get a good overview in the accounting program when you take your AIS or auditing course of what the cloud is, okay, and what it provides, but you're not going to get into.
Yeah, and I think the problem is, and you know, I can't say this is definitely what I'm going to say, but the chances are the people who are teaching this, all right, probably they don't have the experience to teach it.
I hate to say it, Phil, but you're right, Phil. Of course you're right, especially if they've been in academia quite a long time, okay, unless they really have taken the extra steps. And there are some exceptions, you know, to try to keep up to date with blockchain and cloud and all these other technologies. But for a lot of them, Phil, not really. A lot of them are not keeping up with it. So it would be very difficult for them to teach their students.
Yeah, they're trying to replicate like what the thing is for professional engineers.
Yeah.
They want to take the professional engineer exam. So they take a general exam. All right. And then once they pass that, All right. They go maybe into civil engineering. And to get the PE license, all right, professional engineer license,
yep.
All right, they have to pass that second exam.
Yep.
So it seems to me that now the AICPA is coming out with the CPA evolution.
Yep.
Okay?
Yes.
Is that really the major problem? That, you know, they want to keep the profession fresh, all right? That, you know, the people who are out there in accounting know the new technology and all that stuff. Isn't there another problem that maybe, to me, that's more important than worried about an evolution program?
I always sort of going to
the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, all right, this is my opinion, all right? These students who are coming out today, at least, and we have a lot of contact, and I'll speak for myself, all right? A lot of them don't know taxation, all right? Individuals, partnership, they just don't have a knowledge. They don't have a knowledge of financial accounting. So I have to say to myself, if, Bill, are these people coming out majoring in accounting and they're not learning anything because they're just too lazy, or are they not being taught properly? All I know is when I try to help them pass the CPA exam, they do not know the material. So I'm not really a review course. I'm more of another college.
You're a teaching course. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think the answer to what you said there, Phil, it's a combination of problems. They're not being taught enough material or the correct material, okay, that they need to know when they come out of school. And some of that goes back to the quality of the instruction they're receiving, okay, in the schools themselves, okay? And what we're also seeing, Phil, right, online schools, right, have grown tremendously, right? You know that very well.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe to some extent there's an impact on the quality, right, of what's coming out of the university, you know, due to learning on an online basis, right, rather than in a classroom. So, you know, I think, you know, some of that may be driving perhaps what we see on the pass rates, which we can talk about on each part of the exam, okay, that, you know, the first-time pass rates, though we don't really know what they are perhaps could be better, okay, because of that lack of knowledge of the graduates coming out of school.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking here about, well, we want accountants to keep up with the new areas, IT.
Yeah, business processes is another one, Phil, you know, understanding business process.
Have we, in this profession that we're in, isn't there a big problem with the students coming out not knowing that much?
Absolutely.
Should we address that before we come up with a new evolution plan?
So what you're saying, Phil, and I agree with where you're going with this, is should the AICPA or whoever's developing all this come up with a sort of a model, right, of what the key items are that should be covered in the business curriculum, okay? We're talking about the core and also the major in the case of accounting, okay? What are the specifics that should be covered in those courses, in that coursework, right, before granting an accounting degree, so that they're then prepared, right, for what's coming now in the CPA evolution project? I think that's where you're going, correct?
Yeah, the AICPA says, because I bring up these questions, AICPA says, oh, no, we keep on track with these universities to make sure that they are teaching them the current information and that the students are learning this. We find we're teaching people who are, you know, really don't know, you know, the accounting.
Yep.
The major problem is, all right, we have to make it a little easier for the people to get the CPA.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Does this evolution make it easier?
Time will tell, Phil. I, you know, again, does it match the curriculum, Phil? Does it match what they're being taught? Are they being taught the skills that are going to be required by the evolution? For example, data analytics, right? The use of Excel and data analytics. We'll see, okay? It's going to be very interesting as these evolution projects take effect on the exam, whether or not that's going to maybe, again, impact, right, the number of CPA candidates and those passing the exam negatively. We will see, okay?
Yeah, I mean, the data analytics, and does everyone have a real, I can't talk about a lot of things at this point, but.
No, but on Excel, Phil, as I've mentioned to you, a lot of business schools are requiring in the undergraduate core, that they take courses that involve learning how to use Excel, okay? By the way, they're also teaching them how to do basic personal financial planning in some of those courses, but that's not every school, Phil, okay? Yeah. And again, if you don't use those skills, Phil, in Excel, say you learn them as a sophomore, if you don't use them again, the rest of the time you're in school, right, as you're taking your core courses and then your major courses, how skilled really are you in Excel, right, when you get out? And now you've got to use it on the exam coming up, right? That's inevitable, the CPA exam. And you got to use it even more importantly in your job, okay, to do your job.
How do you think they're going, if they test it, all right, where are you going to see that testing of your knowledge of advanced, not elementary, but advanced CPA Excel? Where would you use that on the exam? How would they test that? What do you think?
Well, it appears like starting with the auditing part of the exam, Phil, they're going to give you a basic data set, okay? So let's assume it's an accounts receivable, a list of outstanding accounts receivable, okay? And you've done a internal control review of the client's internal controls, and every client that has an outstanding balance of more than, say, $100,000, it should have been approved by not only the credit manager, but also the controller, and maybe even the VP, okay? Well, you can get a data file, right, which has all the outstanding receivables, and it also keeps track of, by customer, whether or not the customer's credit's been approved, right, in accordance with the controls you thought were in place, okay? Well, you can use pivot tables and other Excel skills, right, in order to take that file, sort it, right, and determine which one of those accounts receivables that are in that file don't meet that compliance test, okay? So it's going to impact in that case, right, depending on your results, the results of your internal control testing, and then, of course, your substantive testing. I think the exam is going to test those basics, accounts payable, accounts receivable, maybe even bank reconciliations, we will see, okay? But they're going to test your ability to get a data file, understand what needs to be done with that data file, and then demonstrate the Excel skills required to take that data file and answer questions.
Well, what Excel skills will be required? Basic ones or more advanced?
So far as we can tell, pivot tables is going to be one of them, okay?
What's the pivot table?
Pivot table takes the data, right, and sorts it according to certain criteria. So in other words, again, in my example, you were asked a question, if it's over $100,000, was the credit approved by the CEO, okay? Well, you can use a pivot table, right, to isolate on all of those accounts receivable amounts over that amount, and then get it from another data file in that data file, see if it's been approved by the CEO or not, okay? So use a pivot table to do that, okay? Rather than going through it all manually like it was done in the old days. That's an example of
the old days, Ron. Is that when we were growing up?
Yeah, we used to eyeball the data, right? We used to go through it manually, okay? These days with Excel, you can do huge data files, right, in a few minutes.
Well, how much knowledge of Excel do I have to have, okay?
To be determined, Phil, okay? I don't think initially it's going to be a lot, okay? But I think it's also going to be up. The game will be up, okay, in the future as they go through integrating it into the exam and seeing what the results are. So, for example, if the results are good from the first simulations put in the exam and candidates doing them, I think they will up the skill requirement as far as the number of Excel functions candidates will be expected to be familiar with to use on data files on auditing type questions.
Do you think they're putting landmines into the CPA exam with all these things? You know, they have to know Excel. They're going to have to know data analysis, okay?
Yep.
And then, God, we want to keep them up to the current thing. So they have to start learning something about blockchain. And, you know, I mean, I have people on, we've had people on that actually are experts in blockchain.
Yep.
Right? But, all right, it's just a small group of people now doing this.
Yeah. Are they putting landmines? Well, if you were taught it in school, it won't be difficult. If you weren't taught it in school, right, you're going to have to prepare yourself to do
when
it.
When are you taught blockchain in school?
Well, now blockchain, I think, is not there yet. I'm talking about data analytics and Excel, okay?
Do you think students will learn better by actual live teaching versus online?
That's the big debate, Phil. You know, the quality of the online program differs, right, significantly from one online program to another, okay? And I've never seen any statistics of pass rates of face-to-face universities, you know, based on size and prestige or whatever you want to put it, versus online university. I've never seen any statistics. But the good news, I think, is online universities, the quality of the curriculum and the materials is improving as the publishers have been forced to adapt, right, to online learning as a as a major medium in this country. But I don't even think the AICPA or anybody else has any statistics, right, comparing what the pass rates and success rates are, you know, for the two different types.
I don't know. They might. I never really asked anybody.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to know, to be honest, under that circumstance. So, and I think, Phil, it all comes back to, who were your teachers for your courses when you were in school? Were they up to date on new technology? Did they teach you the new technology while you were taking the courses? Did they, and for that to happen too, Phil, the teachers have to begin, have to also be going for education, right? We have seen some articles, right, recently, Phil, one of them from the James Madison University, right, which had significant drop off in their accounting, undergraduate accounting enrollment. In the last couple of years, I've heard that from a number of schools happening, right?
It's dropping off because these people are going to IT?
Well, here we go, Phil. Here comes an important subject. What I've been trying to tell you, Phil, if you're a school business major, right, you're going to major in either marketing, management, accounting, finance, or MIS, management information systems, okay? Generally, that's contained in the business school. In some schools, it's not in the business school, but let's assume it's in the business school, okay? So in the business school, what I see happening is great competition between accounting majors, getting students to major in accounting, versus getting students to major in MIS, okay? Why, Phil? Well, MIS is a little bit more glamorous, right? It's not as difficult as accounting. It's more contemporary, right? It's dealing more with the world as it is today, right? As opposed to accounting, right? Which, you know, we hate to admit it, but we're very historical based, right? Learning how to record things, okay? So, and also, Phil, the starting salaries in a lot of cases, right? And the short-term gain leading to long-term big increases in salaries, et cetera, seem to be bigger these days, right? In IT, MIS, side of the house than in accounting majors, okay? And as we all know, right, when you get an accounting and you come out of school, right, you're going to work pretty hard those first few years, right? In the either audit or tax, you're going to be putting in 40 to 80 hour weeks, right? And it's not quite as glamorous as when you're going into MIS or IT, okay? So there's a big competition, Phil, at the moment on majors in business schools between MIS and accounting. Big.
Now, if someone came to you for advice and they said, all right, should I get the CPA or should I go into finance or IT? All right.
I would tell them, what I always do, Phil, is tell them to go after both accounting and IT together. Okay. Your potential, your earnings potential of a combination of being a CPA with IT experience, okay, expertise and experience, including designations that you can get for IT, you can make a tremendous amount of money today, Phil, okay? Because even if you just go the IT route or the MIS, Management Information System route, if you don't have that accounting knowledge, right, and professionalism.
Was it accounting knowledge or the CPA?
Oh, the CPA, exactly. If you don't have that designation, you're not going to be as valuable to some companies as you will be if you have both.
The people that I've spoken to on these podcasts who are in these different type of technology issues like cryptocurrency or cloud account, whatever, they are CPAs first.
Yep. Yep.
And then they have an IT background.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, the stuff they're doing is really tremendous. And most of them are in the California area.
Yes. Yep.
All right.
Yep. Yep.
And they are San Francisco, Silicon Valley.
Yep.
And you know, they are making good money.
Huge money, Phil. Huge, huge. You know, students are coming out of the colleges. As you know, I live in Montana, so I know quite a bit about the students coming out of universities here from Colorado to Utah to Montana. They're going to the West Coast, Phil, and they're making a lot of money directly out of school. And if they perform well in the first year or two, not only can they get huge raises with the accounting firms that they're working for and IT advisory, but they're then getting swept away, right, by clients in those high-tech industries, and they're making up to $100,000 very quickly out of school, just within a few years, Phil, not including things like stock options, et cetera. So there's big, big money there, Phil, in IT today. And that dwarfs, unfortunately, the value of the CPA, right? The pure CPA coming out of school and staying in purely audit or tax. I mean, you can still make a good living, of course, okay? But it's totally different these days, Phil. Completely different. Yes.
So anyway, I'll say it again. If you're studying for the CPA exam, all right, and Ron will tell you to, never, never give up.
Never, all right? Never.
Some people, if you don't have the information you learned in college, then you got to teach it to yourself. Yep. All right? You got to teach it, spend more time. That's the way it is. All right?
Yes.
But I tell you, putting in an extra time, all right, it'll come out at the end and you'll feel really good about yourself when you pass the CPA exam.
Yep.
And also, the jobs or the employers that you will seek out, all right, will like you even better.
Yes. Yep. And you'll be you'll be rewarded financially, okay? So, you know, it's still more than worth the effort. Remember what I just said, Phil, that combination of CPA behind your name and IT expertise or IT consulting or IT awareness or whatever you want to call it, that has tremendous value today, okay? Coast to coast, especially on the West Coast, but it has tremendous value today. And really, I think, has enhanced the quality of our profession. The CPA, you know, with those qualities and characteristics, has tremendous earning potential for the future.
We didn't really talk about evolution, did we?
Well, I think we did. I think what we're trying to say is the CPA designation by itself, okay, still has value, but we need to make sure that the CPA designation is combined from a skills point of view, right, with today's technology and the requirements coming in the future from technology to make sure that we keep the relevance of the CPA certificate or designation after your name as valuable as you just described it 5 minutes ago, right? I mean, it's something to be proud of. It has value in the market. It has value to employers. And, you know, we don't want to lose sight of that for the future. It's very important for business.
Well, we could go on and on. Ron and I do webinars. And by the way, all right, when you see that we're doing a webinar, please watch us. You know, we take questions. All right. And if you have any questions, all right, you can always call our office. And if there's something I can help you with or Ron can help you with, all right, we'll do our best. All right. And my office number is area code 301. 874-4900, extension 5. We are the only course that gives the best personal service of any other review course. And also, we are the only course that uses the AICPA blueprints. Please don't use a course that doesn't integrate the blueprints in the notes, the information. Use the blueprints. Have a wonderful evening, a wonderful day, wherever you are in the US of A or overseas, wherever you're listening to. So anyway, Ron, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Phil. Very good discussion. Very interesting discussion about what's happening.
And we hope to see all of you soon, and we wish you the best if you're studying for the exam. And remember, stay focused and study hard and study with the blueprints.
Yes.
Good evening, good day, everyone. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.